devotion this morning, all of which inspired by Ephesians 1, 13 through 20, is on the importance of God's word as we enter the new year. I want us to first look at Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Here, God gives us insight into the role of his word in our lives. Specifically, I want you to listen to how saturated God expects the word to be in our lives. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You should talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts, on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Here we see that God wants his word to be everywhere in our lives. He wants them to be both internal in our hearts, but also external on and around our homes. He not only wants us to learn and obey his word, but also teach his word to others, our children, people we invite to our homes, and those we meet in everyday life. God wants his word to saturate our lives. So during this devotion, I want to provide you with some reasons for why you should saturate your life with God's word in 2019 and really any year. These reasons aren't listed in any particular order, so really pick the one that resonates with you the most and really let that drive and be an inspiration to you for a deeper relationship with God's word in the new year. For those of you who like numbered lists, there are 7 total. For those of you who don't like numbered lists, I'm not going to number them as I read them. God's word will make you wise unto salvation, 2 Timothy 3:15. So wisdom and knowledge can be found in many places, and as Christians, we do not have a monopoly on earthly wisdom. There are really gifted people who have written books filled with earthly wisdom on how to have a successful career, raise a family, get the most out of this present life. But God's word is the only place where we can gain wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus. Wisdom that is not just for living right now, but for living eternally. God's word reveals with clarity who God really is. Almost all religions agree on morality. In general, they teach that you should treat other people well and have reverence for a higher power. But God's word doesn't just give us morality and reverence. It illustrates who God is in the person of Jesus. His word shows us his faithfulness, his kindness, his mercy, his justice, his sacrifice. We see who God is and what he's like and what he is not like. And when we devote ourselves to his word, his character becomes clearer to us. God's word contains the gospel, the only power to save, as Paul puts it in the book of Romans. The glory of God is found in his ultimate message, which is the gospel. We are lost sinners who deserve judgment, but instead found mercy when Jesus paid our ransom by dying on the cross and being risen from the dead. Because he did that, we can trust his promises to raise us from the dead and complete his ultimate plan for history. God's word is filled with this message in many different ways and stories, and it helps us to know this because, again, this is the only message with the power to save. God's word reveals his plan for you and for all of his people. He promises to not only lead and guide our everyday life, giving us words of wisdom in the Proverbs and other texts, but his words tell us about his plan to reconcile his people to himself and overcome evil finally. His plan is to reign over all things, and he invites us to take part in this plan. If we want to be a part of this plan, we need to know the plan by reading his word. God's word shows us his power. Power to create a universe, power to change the hearts and minds of people in an instant, power over weather, power over unseen demonic forces, power to overcome sin at the cross. All of God's majesty and power, again, is displayed in his word. God's word is true. What is true in a world where some believe everyone is right and others believe in alternative facts? How do you know what truth is? The word of God defines clearly for us what is true and what is false. It tells us that this truth at times needs to be sought out like hidden treasure, and other times it's simply staring us in the face. We only took the time to look. But whatever the case may be, God's word is true, and so we should seek it out. Finally, God's word inspires us to hope and gives us hope. So just listen to these just beautiful texts, and these are all over the Bible, texts that just inspire and ignite our hearts. I am with you even to the end of the world, Matthew 28 and 20. All things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his promises and purpose. Romans 8 and 28. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Psalm 37 and 24. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot, and he will cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. Micah 7:19. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. Job 19 and 25. So these are words that, as we read them, they inspire our hearts. And, you know, I would really have to read the whole Bible to really give a comprehensive look at all of them. I won't do that. But this is just a small glimpse into how God's words inspire us. So in closing, we see why God wants us to saturate our lives with his word, as illustrated in Deuteronomy 6. When we do this, we become wise for salvation, knowing God's truth. We see who God is and understand his plan for redemption. We see his power, and it inspires us to carry the ultimate message of the gospel to those who have never heard it. So I hope these reasons have inspired you, and I hope it gives you encouragement to have a deeper commitment to his word in 2019. Thank you.
Good morning. Our second meditation today is on prayer in 2019. So I want to share two key verses that go with this meditation today. The first is Ephesians 3:14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. From every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And our second key verse is from Ephesians 1:15 through 20. And we read this earlier. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. And just like Paul felt thanks towards the Ephesians, I also feel I give thanks to DGCC and the authentic love that exists in this community. Surely God is working And also my prayer as well with Paul's is that, the eyes of this church, that our hearts would be enlightened to by the gospel. So again, the title of this message is, why should we spend time in prayer in 2019? And the first reason is because prayer leads to a heart of gratitude and dependence on God instead of worry. So if you look at this section in Ephesians 1:15 through 20, it's entitled Thanksgiving and Prayer. I do believe that the title of this section is appropriately labeled. As I studied more, I began to realize that having a heart of thanksgiving goes hand in hand with prayer. So there was a moment over Christmas break where I was walking in the woods and really just stuck in some negative thinking, and it just feels kind of felt overwhelming, and just thinking about relational hurts and I don't know if y'all have ever felt that way with negative thinking. Just it's easy to get stuck. I think what was so helpful for me was then when I was able to turn in prayer to God and start meditating on His promises for my life and start meditating on truth. After meditating on His promises that He works all things according to the counsel of His will, and thinking about how He adopted me and nothing could separate me from His love, I began to feel less anxious and stuck in this negative thinking and worry, but instead prayerful and full of gratitude. So, thanksgiving and prayer really do come together. As we are prayerful, God begins to work. He begins to fill us with gratitude. This is different from just positive thinking or rational thinking or just magical thinking. Like, we need something real, something authentic to base our lives on. And that is, in prayer we can turn to God's promises, And God uses prayer to remind us of His promises. So in Ephesians 1:15, Paul remembers the faith of the Ephesians and the love that the Ephesians have for one another. This is an authentic love. As he prays for them, he is reminded of God's promises, and he prays that God would give the Ephesians wisdom, revelation of himself, and that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened. Like Paul prayed for the Ephesians' hearts to be enlightened, I believe that God also uses prayer in our lives to lead to our hearts being enlightened and strengthened by the hope of the gospel. From this verse, we learn that prayer is not meant to be a stale creed or a heartless recitation, but instead a fervent appeal to God, which involves not just the intellect, but the heart and the whole self. When we pray fervently to God, a gratitude wells up within us and a hopeful expectation that we can depend and rely on His promises develops. Think for a moment about how Jesus instructed His disciples in Matthew 9 to pray earnestly. He said, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Right before he says this, in verse 36, he said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. This compassion, it was from the gut. It was from his very being. When I think he looked out to the lost sheep, these lost people, he really cared. From these verses, we get a glimpse on not just what Jesus prayed, but how he prayed. This prayerful compassion came from his gut, from his heart. He truly and authentically cared about how lost these people are or were. As we pray, God also does the same thing in us. He not only gives us a heartfelt gratitude as we rejoice in His promises, but He gives us a burden for the lost and compassion for the spiritually and emotionally broken. I think as we pray, like, one of the things that God does is He starts to give us a sensitivity to lost and broken people, to the spiritually lost, to people who are emotionally hurting. When you want to pass a homeless person, I feel there's it affects me. You know, it bothers me. You know, and I think without Christ, that feeling would be overwhelming. But thank God for His promises. But yes, I think that God uses prayer to start to develop a sensitivity in our hearts instead of just a coldness. So practically, what does this mean for us? I believe that when we are struggling emotionally and are filled with doubts and cynicism, negative thoughts, worry, or anxiety, turning to God in heartfelt prayer allows us to meditate on His promises. And it also allows us to rest knowing that God is in control of whatever we are going through. You know, I do believe that we have an enemy, Satan. He would rather have us focus on our inadequacies, where we fall short, where we perceive that we fall short. Satan would rather have us focus on negative events in our lives and have us begin to attack our own identity. I think the enemy, Satan, he wants us to believe that we are unworthy, that we are not enough, a failure, ugly, shameful, etc. The list goes on and on. You know, these beliefs lead to feelings of anxiety, of depression, obsessiveness, brokenness. You know, I see these things every day in my practice as a counselor. I think, though, that if we submit ourselves daily in fervent prayer, however, God can begin to speak to us. If you give God the opportunity in prayer, He will begin to replace all the negative lies that you believe about yourself. If you give God the chance, He will begin to show you your true worth. If you give God a chance in prayer, He will begin to enlighten your heart. He will begin to give you a heart of flesh where you feel numb and disconnected. So again, as my work as a counselor, I often find that the most effective and transformative counseling work I can do is to get out of the way and let God work, and let Him speak. Much of the prayer time and session is focused on claiming God's promises in the same way that Paul claimed God's promises for the Ephesians. I often have the experience of really experiencing joy, seeing God work in session, not what I'm doing or not the great wise things I come up with, but God's wisdom, His truth in prayer transforming individuals. It is powerful to claim God's promises in Scripture, as we do this in prayer. It is powerful for the person feeling worthless that God has created them in His image and that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. It is powerful for the lonely and rejected person to know that God will never leave them nor forsake them. It is powerful for the brokenhearted person to know that God is a refuge, strength, high tower, fortress, a shepherd, and that He cares for them. So the second reason that we should pray in 2019 is that authentic prayer leads us to be filled with the fullness of God's love. You know, if you open up your heart to God in prayer, He will fill you with His love. Only God can create this love. Again, I want to read Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from which every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you notice what Paul is doing here? He's praying to God that the Ephesians would know the love of God and that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. I believe that God wants the same thing for us, that instead of hiding in shame and sin, He wants us to be grounded in His love. The knowledge of God is not merely intellectual or academic, but experiential and dynamic. Paul prays that the Ephesians would be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness. When we go to God in prayer, God also begins to feed us spiritually and emotionally. I think of Christianity as a feast. It's coming before God and, sit down and feast on his love. He will fill you. When we are truly filled up with the love of God, this means that we can face life differently. Instead of resorting to bitterness from relational hurts, we can rest knowing that God is in control and that his love for us is sufficient. Instead of having stress over finances or resources, we can rest in his love knowing that we have a loving Father who will provide for his children. Finally, in the midst of depression or loss, we're reminded that God is with us in the valley. So to conclude, prayer is important in 2019 because it leads us to have a heart of gratitude. So if you feel stuck in negativity, negative thoughts, or overwhelmed or stressed, God cares. He wants us to turn to him in prayer and to remind us of his promises, and those promises to lead to joy and gratitude. Authentic heartfelt prayer also leads us to be filled with God's love. When we are filled with God's love, this will pour out onto other people.
You may be seated. For our third meditation, I want to start with the scripture from John. This is John 16, verses 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said to you that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. These are the words of our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I do just pray that these words that we've sung, these words from our brothers that we've heard in the meditations they gave, Lord, the words that I'll speak, that they will remind us of your word, your truth, that your Spirit would be at work in these to change and turn our hearts more into Christ's image, and Lord, to make us those who will look to what is to come, and that knows that Spirit is going to guide us safely home. So help us, Lord, in everything we've heard today, and use these words to blend with my brothers as well, for your glory, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So our main text, again, that I'm pulling from is coming from Ephesians 1 that Blake just read from us for us. And I was thinking this year, if we as Desiring God Community Church and as individual believers, if we're to grow in our knowledge of God, if we're to grow in our likeness in Christ in the coming year, then we've heard from Ijohn and Blake about the necessity for God's word and for prayer in order for those things to truly happen. But I just want to say this morning that our Bible reading and prayers are absolutely worthless without the life-giving breath, the soul-transforming fire, the heart-exchanging, the parched soul quenching the living water of the Holy Spirit. The world is filled with people that are hearing and reading religious texts authored by dead men. And it's filled with people mouthing and chanting endless words to even dead or blind and deaf and mute idols. And so we need God to connect us to God. The good news today is God has done this and he continues to do this, to connect us to himself. God himself has connected us to himself by the Father making us alive in Christ through the Holy Spirit giving us new hearts. And he's connected us to himself by him taking the blinders off our eyes to see Christ for all that he is. And he's done this through him granting us repentance and faith to turn and trust Jesus, his blood and resurrection alone to cover all our sins. And so even with all this being said, the Father and the Son knew in their infinite wisdom, they knew that this wouldn't be enough to just graciously redeem a bunch of unfit, unworthy shacks, so to speak, to be able to dwell in the mansions of the kingdom of heaven. They had an even greater idea than that. They were going to send the Spirit to do a lifetime's work of demolition and renovation, work in our hearts, to make each home and each heart fit for the household of God, for which he was freely and graciously purchased. So the main tools that the Spirit uses for this massive renovation work and this work to bring us safely to God through this journey of life, these main tools that the Spirit uses are what we've been hearing about today from I, John, and Blake. They are his very word and prayer, the Spirit using them. So it was amazing in thinking through this of how interconnected the Spirit is with the word and with prayer. Just think about how God, the Holy Spirit, has already used both these, God's word and prayer, to connect us with him. First, consider the Bible. There would be absolutely no written word without the Spirit of truth carrying men along through the ages of various cultures and written genres to write one unified story in the whole counsel of his scriptures. Throughout the story, the Spirit is exalting Jesus Christ. He's exalting him and redeeming a people for himself, all to give glory to God the Father. And think of prayer. Romans 8 tells us the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he actually does it according to the will of God as he does this prayer for us. And so you might say, how does the Spirit know the will of God? Well, 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that being the Spirit of God, he searches and comprehends the depths and the thoughts of God and the depths of the love of God that Blake just spoke of. And through this, he allows us to understand the things freely given us by God. And isn't it amazing that the believer in Christ has the Spirit of Christ to help them pray God's thoughts and will to him, back to him? And so you see, the Spirit is essential for prayer. But as we've seen, the scriptures are the Spirit revealing the glory of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But there's a need for the Spirit to take the revelation of the word he's authored and reveal it to our hearts. He reveals the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus when we come to know Christ, when we're born again, as we've already talked about. But God's goal was never merely to save us. It was to be glorified in his saved people through our worship and enjoyment of him and our transformation into his likeness, ultimately until he brings us to his home, the new heavens and the new earth. And so the believer's worship and enjoyment of Christ and transformation into his likeness, this comes from the Spirit actually revealing deeper knowledge and wisdom of God through his word, as I, John, was sharing. And this involves not a one-time event of our eyes seeing Christ Jesus, but a continual time of our hearts being enlightened by the word of God. It takes this. So the author of the living word, the scriptures, think of this, and the one who knows perfectly the thoughts and the will of God is the one Paul is praying for in Ephesians 1, 15 and following, as Blake read, to send us continual enlightenment by his Spirit in the eyes of believers' hearts through this word and through prayer. So I just want you to imagine this picture. Imagine a channel of water that ends at a particular port. Just think about this in your minds. When cruise ships are traveling on rivers to a destination port city, think of a ship that's traveling on a river to a destination port. There are currents in deep places in that river that the captains know to navigate to protect them from being shipwrecked and to allow them to arrive safely with all the cargo intact. The word and prayer are like those deep portions and currents within the channel of Christ that connects us to the Father. So Christ Jesus in John 4 and John 7 describes the Holy Spirit as living water that wells up to eternal life. So if Christ is the way to God, and we know that he is, we know he's the way to God. If he is, and we know he is, and in this illustration in particular, he's the cutout channel to God, then the Spirit is the flowing water within that channel that carries us to our eternal port, which is the city of God. And the Spirit is guiding us within that channel by the deep and fast-moving currents of God's word and prayer. So without the Holy Spirit's continual flow working through this channel of grace, without this, the word and our prayers wouldn't have eternal or transformative effect on us. We'd be ships stuck on a dried up channel to God with no power or help to actually arrive safely to him. But because of the Spirit's work, we know that he works to bring us truly to God. And that's why our passage this morning tells of our need to pray to the Father for one another, for all of us to pray together for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in our knowledge of him. Because if through the Spirit we see God for who he is, if the blinders put on by the Spirit of this world have been overcome by the Spirit of Christ, and our eyes of our hearts are continually enlightened, then as 1 Corinthians 2, 2:13 says, we can understand the things freely given us by God. We've already heard this morning what those things freely given us are, that we need our eyes and our hearts continually enlightened to. And it says it again if you're reading along in verses 18. It says this, it says these things. The eternal hope to which God has called us. We need to have our eyes continually enlightened to this. This eternal hope God has called us to in Christ. Or think about this. The incalculable security of God's rich and glorious inheritance in us. And we need to be reminded of the unmatchable greatness of his power that's been granted to us. And so why does Paul say that we need to be reminded of all these things, of these great truths? We heard Ijohn talk about these great truths that Scripture needs to remind us of, and Blake talk about this. Why is Paul particularly bringing these things out to be reminded? He obviously knows that we need them. It's because these great promises of God bring us a great sustaining strength. And it brings us the strength from the certainty and eternity of our joy in Christ to which our lives are headed. So no matter what we may face, no matter what is ahead, all the uncertainty, all the things that seem to be in chaos or in turmoil in our world or maybe in our families or in our lives or wherever we might find them, we know the end. We know where we're headed in Christ by the Spirit's power, working through his word and working through prayer. I was reminded of James the first time we had to take him to the doctor and he had to get blood taken. And we really didn't know how he was going to respond. This is when we were trying to build up trust in him. And so we're thinking, gosh, the people we're trying to build up this trust, and we're all of a sudden about to take him to a place where it's going to be a lot of pain he's going to feel. It was a bunch of vials of blood. And so what we did on the way was we prayed for God to work to grant him peace and to be with him during this. But we also told him of a surprise he was going to get at the end of it once it was all over. Now, he didn't know what this surprise was. It ended up being duck donuts, and he enjoyed that. But he knew there was something good coming. And how about us? We know, we don't know totally what heaven will be like, but we know we're going to be with our Lord. And we're going to see his face. And we're going to be with him to reign with him. Whatever that means, we're going to be reigning with him. We're going to be glorified with him. And we're going to be casting down whatever crowns we've been given at his feet. Because all the glory will go to him. And that's where we're headed. And so Paul wants to remind us of where we're headed. He wants to remind us of this security that we have in this inheritance, this great calling and eternal hope that we have in it, and the greatness of power that God is working, will work in that day to bring it about, and is continually working in us to that point. And so when we as God's people understand and see the awesome last chapter of God's glory and our certain joy in his presence for all eternity, when we're continually reminded, the eyes of our hearts are enlightened by that, then we can endure the troubled, unrevealed chapters that are coming in 2019. And we know they'll come. Jesus has promised in this world we'll have trouble. We know trouble, in some senses, is coming. But we can rest. We can look forward with anticipation, even in the midst of that, because the Lord who has made the way for us, the one who's given us the Spirit to not only seal us for that day, but to persevere us to that day, he's going to see us through, and we can see forward to where we're going. And he's transforming us along the way to make us more and more fit for our place in heaven that he's made for us through Christ Jesus' body that was shed on, and his blood that was shed on the cross for us. So when this happens, when we are seeing that, what's coming, and we're being persevered, the same joy set before our Savior that strengthened him to endure the cross and despise its shame will strengthen us and cause us to persevere to that very end as well, whatever may come. And so as we close 2018 and move into a new year and a new chapter of our life as Desiring God Community Church, a new chapter as individual believers in Christ, let's pray for one another, for the Spirit to enlighten our hearts as we open, as we hear, as we read, as we ponder, as we memorize, and as we joyfully obey God's word together and in our own lives. So I want to offer that opportunity right now, as you sit in your seats, for us to close our eyes, to meditate on the words we've heard throughout these different meditations in God's word and the words from the songs. And I just want us to take some moments to pray for God's Spirit to reveal, his Spirit of wisdom and revelation, to further reveal our knowledge of him, to have our hearts enlightened this year by his word and by prayer. So let's take some time to silently go to the Lord for this. I'll close us in prayer after, and then we'll do a closing song and benediction. So let's go to the Lord silently now.